The creation of a collective identity can be deliberate and strategized, as you just heard, but more often it's unconscious, refracted through the stories we tell ourselves about our past. Sunday, November 9th, marks the 25th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. You'll see lots of scenes of joyous dancing and exultation, Ronald Reagan's famous admonition to Gorbachev to tear down this wall, maybe even David Hasselhoff singing on the rubble on that New Year's Eve. But according to Rachel Summerstein, these now iconic images did not dominate the initial coverage of the collapse of the wall. They came later.
The euphoria was definitely shown, and especially by NBC, because Tom Brokaw was there. But it was also tempered with this ambivalence about Germany's unification.
But would a giant German state once again dominate Europe? The memories are very real, of course. Poland, remember?
We saw images from Triumph of the Will. Nazi flags on the Brandenburg Gate. It was very muddled. On the one hand, it was this openness, it was this freedom, which was so exciting. But also there was this persistent concern that we could be looking at a Fourth Reich. Even Garrick Utley, who was a reporter at the time filling in for Brokaw, said the idea of unification is something that causes pain for millions of people.
Huh. And oddly, you've noted that given the significance of the event, there wasn't much attention paid to the anniversaries that came soon after.
I was shocked. Although CNN marked the anniversary in 1990, it was really an aside. It was an afterthought. I can't imagine a year going by, if we look at the Hurricane Sandy anniversary coverage, a year going by and the media not making a big deal of it. When the coverage did come out, it highlighted all the bad stuff that has come to Germany since the wall fell. Unemployment, which did rise, anti-Semitism, which did rise, and not showing us the euphoric pictures. We didn't see them. We saw instead pictures of confrontations with police.
Leipzigers took to the streets, often beaten by police and jailed.
Anniversary coverage from 1994 blends Kristallnacht and the fall of the wall. Historically, one of those funny coincidences is they did happen on the same day, although Kristallnacht did start on November 8th, if you want to be technical about it. But when Tom Brokaw introduced that segment, he said, November 9th was a day of defining moments in German history.
German history 54 years ago, it was called Kristallnacht, the night of the broken glass, the start of the Nazi attacks against Jews. 3 years ago, the spectacular fall of the Berlin Wall.
The images used were all from Kristallnacht. Those were the archival images used to illustrate this commemorative story about the wall collapsing.
So when did we start seeing these images that we know so well, this moment when the Iron Curtain collapsed?
We really started to see them in 1999.
Why?
The EU was really getting off the ground at that point. That was a pretty celebratory thing for the United States, having more trade opportunities and economic opportunities. And I think that the problems we were dealing with here at home, unemployment and an economic downturn, had really evaporated by the end of the 90s.
And of course, we'd also passed through the Cold War.
It was over, and we can't underestimate the significance of the relief that we had escaped nuclear annihilation. By 99, it was truly behind us.
One thing that I found really interesting is that although Reagan, in his famous speech at the Brandenburg Gate, that famous line, "Tear down this wall," was cited in the early coverage, it really wasn't cited all that much.
And especially in the earliest coverage, we didn't even hear that line at all.
Come here to this gate.
We just heard, "Open this gate."
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate.
I think that we didn't know what to make of this event. And that was from the media all the way up to our executive. When President H.W. Bush learned of this, he was completely unprepared. We didn't have the narrative fixed yet of what we wanted this story to be in the media.
And so open this gate suggests let's talk.
Absolutely. And we have to think about why things become iconic. Why do stories or pictures or sound bites become iconic? They tend to reinforce hegemonic ideas. I think that we reframed the opening of the wall as an American win. And I think this idea that the United States and the powerful, rugged American hero of Ronald Reagan, that his more powerful words have become enshrined and frequently circulated, is because we really like to think that about ourselves. Reagan said, "You tear this down," and look, he did.
Then you're arguing that the way Germany has been presented is less about Germany and more about us.
Our coverage of it is about our past, our idea of our own place in the world. As we create the idea of who Germany is, we're also creating the idea of who we are.
We talked about the anniversaries immediately after, and the turning point anniversary in 1999. But what about the subsequent ones, 2004, 2009?
They only became more and more bombastically positive.
20 years ago, one of the most dramatic nights of the 20th century.
Men and women atop the wall tonight, hammer and chisel, taking it down.
Piece by piece, this sinister symbol of oppression which divided Berlin for almost three decades came apart.
It's easy to be nostalgic about a time when the lines seemed clear and we knew who our enemies were. And we even had this concrete wall that separated us from them. After 9/11, all of that became much, much messier.
So as we watch the coverage this weekend for the 25th anniversary, what do you think we should keep in mind?
The ways that we're seeing the past are not fixed. They're always in flux. And the way that we see the past 5 years from now will be different. We should keep in mind when we see this stuff that journalists are not historians.
What are they?
They're interpreters of our current events. Journalists are the holders and the perpetuators of the myth.
If you were to sum up the last 25 years of coverage of the Berlin Wall, first anniversary, fifth anniversary, 10th anniversary, and so on, how would you do it?
89 is joyous but ambivalent. Early 90s, there's no euphoria. It's only about the unemployment, anti-Semitism, all this really bad stuff. Then we have the turn in 99. The images come back of people joyously celebrating. Suddenly, the anchors and the reporters aren't really talking about unemployment anymore, and they're not really talking about anti-Semitism anymore. Even though unemployment was, I believe by 2000, it was 20% of former people from the former GDR. Following 99, wow, it was like, that was a good war. And we all had a big party at the end.
So we can see the evolving narrative of all of this through a montage of Brokaw in the last 25 years.
Who even came out of retirement in 2009 to do the commemorative reportage. Maybe Brokaw will come out of retirement again and tell us how great it was. I can predict we will hear the words, "Greatest party in the free world."
Rachel, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Rachel Summerstein is an assistant professor of digital media and journalism at the State University of New York at New Paltz.
I've been looking for freedom.
Hasselhoff at the Wall.
I've been looking for